Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Will Ridge stop Brooke and Bill's wedding on The Bold and the Beautiful? Hillary and Neil are outed by Devon on The Young and the Restless. Who shot Nick on Days of Our Lives? And General Hospital throws a nurse's ball? All this and Barbara Wawa retires. So stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you on with us today.
Wow. Thank you. I'm so honored.
Jillian Bo, welcome.
Hello, Luke.
Melody Akles, how was your stage show?
It was really good. We've done six performances now. We got one more week left, but I can join y'all on the podcast this week. I missed y'all so much. I know y'all glad to have me back.
Well, of course we are, though I think you mentioned before the podcast there's a possibility of additional showings?
Maybe. The play's been pretty successful where I am. They were talking about maybe extending it for a week, maybe moving to a bigger venue. I don't know. We shall see, but it's possibly in the cards.
Not the Juke Joint no more. She coming to Magic City, Jamie. Go get her.
Oh, come on. Nah, they don't bring nothing here but church plays. They're not bringing Dream Girls. I'm sorry, Mel. If it's not, oh, mama, I want a perm, where the young woman finds out that her desire for a perm can only be supplanted by her love for Jesus. That's the only thing we get down here.
That's what they do at Match Reagan.
Reagan, tell me about your love for Jesus, wine, and gambling.
Luke found it, baffling that church festivals have drinking and gambling. Don't all church festivals have this?
Not the one I grew up in.
Tell Luke, everybody church was not church from Children of the Corn. I mean, we were Baptists, which means Saturday through Friday through Saturday night.
I'm Episcopalian. We born as hell. I mean, ain't nothing going on.
Sunday, we shout, catch the Holy Ghost, talk about everybody else who going to hell. Then as soon as we get out to church, we go, ooh, look at her. I know she did come up in here thinking, girl, you see she caught the Holy Ghost? She was catching crabs last night. That's my church, but anyway.
Okay, we went to totally different types of churches. Let's talk about someone who may have some time for church. Jamie Barber Walters retired. So after years of doing everything from interviewing Fidel Castro to talking about Astro Glide on The View, she's hung up her shingle.
Well, considering she was out with shingles last year.
See how I did that?
Yeah, Babs, growing up, Barbara Walters was one of my favorite journalists.
Yeah.
Loved The View up until she started firing people and making them lie.
she will say that she does not control who is hired or fired.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, The View, Erna Phillips said it best about her soap stars on As the World Turns back in the day. She did not want to know about their personal lives and didn't want them doing things. I think Rosemary Prinz had a play and she was upset about that because she was playing, you know, in a way that the character on the show wouldn't have played. And that's where it famously got out that Erna Phillips only wanted to know them as their characters. And I kind of feel that way about my favorite TV journalist because I really didn't ever need to hear about Barbara Walters' cooter because
Katie Couric's colon.
Well, no, Luke.
No, because that was close to
home. That's a little different. Yeah. Her husband died, so that was good journalism for her to film her colonoscopy. But no, Barbara just took The View as her chance to lighten up and show her fun side, and it always came off as stiff and oh, Barbara, you're just coming up with something nasty to say to try to be fresh.
I mean, that book audition opened my eye. I had to, my sister and I went to the signing to get that thing, and I just looked at Barbara. I was like, you old hussy, you messing with that woman's husband.
Well, I liked the retrospective on 2020, because that reminded me of what she did cannot be compared. She knocked down the walls for women in journalism. I mean, there would be no Oprah or Connie Chung or any of those women who came to pay tribute to her. They wouldn't be there if she hadn't gone from being a writer on Today to the Today Girl to, you know, which is so sexist to think that they used to call them the Today Girl.
Yeah.
To actually being a co-host, to being the first woman to co-anchor the evening news, failing at that by her own admission, and then going on to do her specials, which is where I fell in love with her. Like, I loved those Barbara Walters specials, and Oprah talked about on there how she mimicked them when she started it. I did too. When I went to my college and I had to do my little, you know, the SAU report, I would do the Barbara Walters thing. I would be like,
did you
if
ask,
you were a tree, yeah, what tree would you be?
Did you ask someone if they were a tree?
No, I wouldn't do the tree thing. But when she talks about how she prepares with interview questions, like, I go in strong with 30 or 40 questions usually.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a good, fun retrospective. And I was really glad to see all of the serious journalism she did. I mean, asking dictators if they killed people and stuff like
that. She had balls, boy, because I'd be too scared. They'd be like, oh, and then say, blah, 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 in their language, kill that bitch. Kill that bitch and the cameraman.
And The View, it reminded me of The View used to be my life.
Oh, so
I mean,
good.
I used to watch The View like I did soap operas every single day. And,
so
you know, you can't even make me turn on The View now. I mean, it's just, I feel like how Michael Logan said. I mean, to me, that is now, the Chew is no longer the weak link on that lineup. It's The View without her.
I mean,
Mel, Reagan, what did you guys think of Barbara Walters' impact and her departure?
Like Jamie said, she did wonders for women in journalism. I mean, look at all that she did, all the people she interviewed. She's really, despite her personal life, you know, who doesn't want to be, as a woman in journalism, like Barbara Walters, you know, interviewing guests on 2020, major people in the industry and all over the world. I think what she did was amazing. And then to have, you know, four women on a morning talk show, or four or five, how many ever, for The View, that's amazing as well. You know, we're sitting around, it's your view on the world, on issues, on everything. I think that was such a great idea, you know, in the beginning. Right now it's kind of played out, but
yeah, 2020, that's how she said it. Oh my god, I mean, you know, I didn't grow up with old people like how Jamie likes to say, but my mom, you know, we had a dish. We didn't have cable back in the gap, that's another story, but we had a dish, and it wasn't like today where you had like 50 receivers and you can watch whatever in your room. We had one receiver, and my mom used to famously say, look here, I pay the satellite bill so I get to watch what I want to watch. And I'd be like, whoa. So 2020, that's how I got to know Barbara. I love, you know, I would be so pissed. I'd be like, what's the 2020? I want to watch something else. But then I would sit down and watch it, and Barbara was so good with Hugh Downs. I was so pissed that they got rid of Hugh and then they pushed Babs out for these mofos and this stupid what would you do madness. Ugh. I mean, you know, Barbara was a pioneer. Well, she is a pioneer. I mean, you know, as much as people like to try to shade her, I mean, I shade her for some of the shit she does. I mean, don't nobody want to hear about your cat trap, Babs. No, ma'am. Unless it's a kitty cat that you feed.
I will say this, though. My mom defended Barbara Walters. I was almost like, please stop. Please stop. Don't go any further. Because when I put something on Facebook about, did nobody want to hear about Barbara Walters and her sex toys? And my mom was like, you go, Barbara. Life doesn't end at a certain age. And I was like, stop, stop. Don't say anymore.
Reagan?
Oh, she's a living legend. I mean, she's, you know, it's Barbara Walters. Everyone's going to miss her contributions. Well, is she still contributing?
She's going to be an EP at The View.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was
going to be like, Lady.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she was going to maybe still do something here and there. But everyone's going to miss her specials. I mean, her top 10.
Let me tell you how that's going to go. Let me give you a scene for that. Bill Getty going to be in the control room. The PA going to come in. Bill, it's Barbara. Just let it go to voicemail. Come in there, look, sitting up on a pillow looking. Why is Sherry saying that she doesn't believe Mars is a planet?
I mean, she said that she's going to do little specials every now and again.
That's what I was getting at, because her specials are really, I mean, I loved the concept of The View at the beginning. It, you know, obviously with all these host changes, it kind of fizzled and it became a little bit of its own joke. But the concept and the first, I don't know, 5-6 years of it were great. But it's her specials that I'm really going to miss. I love all of her specials. She's
and I wonder,
a,
will
she's
they,
a great interviewer. I mean,
she better
I wonder,
not
will
call
she
up.
Continue doing her Oscar special? And
no, she
you know.
Stopped doing. She well, she said she stopped doing it. She didn't do it this year. She did it the last
she,
year.
It
last
seemed
year.
Like Kathy,
I'll bet you she still does her Fascinating People.
She stopped yeah. doing that too.
Well, the thing of it is, I mean, she old. She might can't do it no more. I mean, you saw at the end of that.
Did she just try getting what's his name from the Clippers?
She also does. She said she's going to do special interviews. That was a big ass old man time. Racist mofo wanted only her. You know he ain't going to Oprah because Oprah already was like Oprah. They say Oprah swooping low to buy up that team. So you know he ain't going to interview with her.
Well, she got V. Stiviano. That was her. Well, that was her last big get. Which I'm like, wow, to go from Castro and the Bay of Pigs to some harlot.
rabbit. I'm like, who are you, Bugs Bunny? You dumb hoe.
Jillian, I understand you went to the talks filming in New York.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I did. My bestie Greg and I went to the talk. You know, I just made a comment. I was like, because I saw that.
Now tell everyone who Greg is. Greg does Empire. The
yes.
wonderfully wacky web series where the rich white woman put her Mexican maid behind a wall, which was just hilarious.
But yeah, like I saw, you know, VP of CBS Daytime Angelica McDaniel tweet, you know, they were going to be in New York. So I just made the comment. So I was like, oh, okay. So how you going to get tickets? So, you know. She was like, you know, I'll help you get some tickets and so forth. So we went Monday and we were rushing late, child. So we got there and I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not one of those people to be like, I am Jillian from Data Confidential. I don't roll like that. But, you know, I was like, my name is Jillian. I'm a guest. They were like, who invited you? I said, you know, I was all Angelica McDaniel. And they were like, who? I said, Angelica McDaniel. Chow. It was like the river party. They were like, oh, okay. So we went there and everything, and it was cool. Let me tell you how they played me at the top, chow. So, you know, the warm-up guy is warming up everything and whatnot. And he it's just like, you know, you, lady in the green, because I had on green. And I'm like, I know he ain't talking to me. So, you know, Greg and I are just looking around like, He's like, you, yes, you. He's like, you're not even clapping. He's like, I don't care that you have VIP seats. I don't care that you're Angelica's special friend. I was like, oh, shit, he played me. But it was all in fun. So I clapped and he was just like, look at you. You giving that golf clap. And I was like, well, damn, he really did come for me. I was like, touche, Miss McDaniel, touche. I got to meet her and she was like, so you like GH, huh? I'm like, well, damn. He's like, well, like them all. She's like, well, I know that you like GH. I'm like, oh, my God. The story again. Growing up, my grandmother would watch me and the rest of my cousins until we were able to go daycare. In her house, the rule was, you touch my TV and you die. And
oh, Lord, I couldn't agree. Oh, Jesus.
No,
imagine what would have happened if that had happened in Jamie's house.
She just watched ABC soaps, so we watched ABC soaps. At nighttime, they would air CBS shows. At nighttime, so I would watch The Bold and the Beautiful and The Young Restless for like until we got a dish for the longest. I thought The Bold and the Beautiful was for an hour, not knowing they were just airing it back to back. And yeah, we didn't have no love for NBC shows. I mean, my mom clowned the hell out of your girl, Vicky Wyndham Chambers. Yes, she did. No, let me tell you what she did. It was that storyline where she was pregnant and she was chasing them birds.
That's the end of the show. You can't audition another world and talk about the end of the show. All soaps
are bad. This is post the baby in the tree.
All
I mean,
soaps are bad at the end.
At the end, yeah.
Rita Shane was in Moomoo's at the end of Guiding Light, but that doesn't take away the majesty of Flood of Springfield.
Look, we, you know, one day I was watching it because I don't know at that time. Like, yeah, did it go up against One Life to Live, all my children?
You should have told your mother to watch it pre-Jill Theron Phelps. Like,
I'm trying to figure out. No, I'm trying to figure out.
Coming to Genoa City near you, Melody Thomas Scott and the Moo Moo.
You take that back.
Yeah, I'll be, she'll be like, bitch, please, Luke. No, I'm trying to figure out what show aired at that time because I don't know what show aired. It was preempted, so I turned over there. And my mom was home one day, too, from work. And she was like, what happened to her? She said, why'd she land on the floor? I said, she was chasing some birds and she fell. So she said, so why she can't get her ass up? I said, well, she pregnant. She goes, oh! I'm pregnant. I said, she's pregnant. She was like, oh, that's not pregnant. I said, how do you know she's old? She was like, you can see she old. I know she ain't supposed to be pregnant.
That's,
I know that.
The top 10 signs your show is on the decline. 50-year-olds start getting pregnant.
I'm defending that.
In trees.
Even though it wasn't my show.
Storyline.
Stop, it wasn't my show, but I was defending soap. She was like, and this is what you sit down and watch. I'm like, mom, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't even my show, so I don't care what you say about that.
I just wish y'all had watched Donna Swajewski's brilliant run as head writer. I don't even know who the showrunner was back then, but oh, Another World was the gold standard.
We call Goofy Rachel. I just thought she was odd. I thought this. I was like, you odd. You 50 plus and having babies with this man who's 70.
Oh, Vicky Lord was having babies up under us in the sewage and forgot to
She wasn't 50. Don't you do it.
Vicky Lord was having babies in the sewer system, calling it a town, and didn't know she had the baby.
Don't do it. Well, she had it at the right age. Vicky Windham's ass was, you know, catching the blue play special.
Hey, Erica Kane had an abortion,
oh,
so
Lord,
hey.
God. Back to positive.
So, Jillian, wrap up the talk, and then we'll move on.
Well, you know, Angelica was nice. You know, I had a moment with Greg. I was like, she's so nice. I'm like, damn. I'm like, you know, I'm going to feel a little pain going in on your show.
She is very nice. She is very nice, and YNR is very naughty. So,
did you get anything good?
Oh, yeah. Ciao. So, Greg and I went there, and they gave away a lot of shit. We got, like, a cappuccino and latte maker. We got some, like, these, like, badass knives. We also got some pots and pans and stuff. Well, I'm going to be late. So, yeah.
I got some soap and a water. I've still got this purse I don't know what to do with. Cause, you know, like,
send it to me.
What kind of purse is it? Maybe you could sell it.
It was like a little coin purse thing. It was $100. Look at that price tag.
Keep it on second thought.
I guess the talk trying to tell you need to sprinkle, child. But Greg,
I got some nice soap. I got some chocolates or something, but I ate them. Look, I was eating them as we were walking out the studio.
Jillian, what kind of cappuccino maker is it? Is it one of those Nespressos?
It's a Keurig maker. It's a Keurig. So it's a cappuccino.
Wow.
So
nice.
Keurig? Yes, Gretchen, you sell it, Greg. Because Greg was like, boy, we should get that Keurig. I said, I think we are. And when they were like, you're going home, Greg, damn, they're busting my eardrum. He was like, ah! I said,
Show it out.
But they told us to be noisy, and Greg didn't have to be prompted.
I've been at a club with Greg. Yeah, he can do that.
Greg, we love you.
So I was like, look, I got you some. I said, look, I got you, you know, housewarming gifts. I'm like, there you go. So, shout out to Angelica. She was really nice, you know, even though your hype man played me. I thought it was funny. We all thought it was funny because it was all a jest, you know, because I, you know, I'm not one of them people who like to be all, yay. I'm just like, yeah, I do your thing. But
yeah, you have no choice there with the talk. They're like,
he singled me out. I was like, and everybody just looked at me. I was like, oh! I was like, oh my God. But it was fun.
See, just hearing that, there would be no way I could.
Oh, Luke
go.
Cannot go to one.
Luke would get so embarrassed.
Luke would. No, look, he would. No, when I was there,
I would walk out, is what I would do.
When I was there, there was a guy like Luke who just simply would not do it. And that guy was like, hey, you, the hype guy was like, hey, you, up in the stands, come on, what are you here for? audience, what's up with this guy? And the whole audience started booing the guy. Luke would lose his shit. You can never go to a table of a talk show, Luke.
It wasn't in a malicious way. It was in a fun way.
But I'm not saying it's malicious. I'm just saying there would be
the
no
moment
way
all eyes were on Luke, he'd lose his mind. He would.
Hey, right. Nuclear explosion.
He would like crawl into the fetal position on the ground.
I tried to like make myself small. He was like, "Where you going?" I was like, "Oh shit, where am I going?"
You should have jumped up and dropped it like it was hot. That's what you do.
No, sir.
You gotta take your moments. You gotta see. You could have had a job. I'd have got
do
up.
Some twerk,
I'd have got up and done the stacky leg for him. Come on, huh?
They did have a little dance competition. They were trying to do a dance competition before the to kill time until it was time to tape. And I tried to get Greg to go up there because they were like he was picking people out the audience, and I was like, come over here. Greg was like, oh my god. He was like, you don't want to see what I was doing here. I'm like, what you mean you go dropping like this on? He was like, hell no. If he comes over here, he's like, chilling, I will embarrass you. I was like, whoop, never mind.
Oh my.
It was
Jamie, who killed Nick Fallon on Days of Our Lives?
Oh, go sniff him.
I don't know, but we interviewed Blake, and we had a really good interview. You guys need to check that out at daytimeconfidential.com. He didn't tell us who killed him, but he did tell us he was dead, like dead to the dead. So, which is sad for the show, but great for him, because Blake's movie, House of Last Things, just got bought at the Cannes Film Festival, so old boy is going to be... We will all be like, look, I will be calling him up one day. Hey, remember when you was on that story, Days of Our Lives? Well, now that you're winning these Oscars and stuff, you think I can get on the red carpet with you? Because he will one day be a superstar. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind. Now, as far as who killed his character, hey, anybody in Salem, USA, other than Chrishell Stouse's character and Little Allie, because they were going to, get some ice cream or whatever. But, yeah, anybody in that square? I mean, my money is on Gabby because I'm a practical soap fan, and she is the one leaving the show. So I'm like, well.
See, my theory is, when in doubt, Marlena did it. She was possessed by a demon, and she was a serial killer.
If James Riley was still writing this show, I would say, yes, Lord, it would be Marlena, because he loved to do that. And Deirdre Hall loved playing it. But this regime has said over and over again that they didn't like those stories and blah, blah, blah. And, it is what it is. I enjoy what they
would
do.
Would Kristen do it to get back in the good graces?
What would be her motive? I really think they're going to tell a smart murder mystery, which is that it's going to be one of the people that, we know that it won't be EJ and Sammy. That was too obvious with the hitman. So Lucas ran off and was mad. Sonny, I loved that they basically let Sonny, when Sonny was talking to Will about it, and Will was like, we have no choice, we're at Nick's mercy. And Sonny was like, no Kyriakos has ever accepted that. I said, oh, we bring it back that the Kyriakos is in the mob. I'm glad somebody remembers that, because Victor was, Victor is the type of cat, he didn't suffer fools back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, Uncle Vic might have passed on a little something to his nephew. So I'm thinking either Sonny or Gabby. Gabby's the most obvious because Camilla's leaving the show. If they want to do the weak way out, you give it to Abby's boyfriend, her new boyfriend, because it's like, that's what soaps used to do. That's what happened when freaking Frame died. You just give it the serial killer, or the killer is somebody nobody cares about. But
why do we keep coming back to Jill Farren Phelps?
Why do we keep coming back to freaking Frame? She's dead!
Because they keep hiring us. So, anyway, I would assume they're going to go for a big... I mean, Days has been very bold in the last 2 years, so I feel like it'll be somebody with, some meat to the bones of the story. I think it's going to be somebody we know and care about, and, again, obvious to me would be Gabby, because she's leaving, but,
Jillian, who do you think did it?
Yeah, I thought of Gabby, but I also thought, wouldn't it be funny if, good old boy, well, he ain't a good old boy, but, you know, good, clean cop, Rafe did it. Rafe was like, I was tired. I just plugged him one.
He could say it's his doppelganger.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think nobody wants to reference Dina Higley's writing on this show either.
But, yeah, I thought maybe Rafe, that would be kind of cool if Gabby, like, did it. Gabby and Rafe did it or something, and, like, you know, Gabby takes the fall, and that's how you usher her silly ass out of town. You know, Gabby's like, this is all my fault. I mean, you know, I hope it is Gabby, or at least they bring up how Gabby caused Jack to be buried up under that rubble. She makes me so angry, being such a hypocrite, and then slapping my Sammy. I was like, girl, you need to die a horrible death.
Let's talk a little bit about General Hospital. Reagan, the nurse's ball is back.
Not no more.
Well, it was back for the week we're discussing.
Oh.
What did you think of the performances? Did you have a favorite? And what did you think of Ron Moss?
Ball was good. I don't know about Ron Moss, but it was fun. It was different. It was a little stick to Bold and the Beautiful. I'm sure he's probably like, I don't really give a shit. The first thing I noticed, though, was last year I remembered it looked so empty. And I'm like, oh, it actually looks like it's a full room and a full event. That was, like, the first thing that stuck out to me about it. I don't know why. It was the one thing that I remembered from last year. And this year it didn't look like nobody was attending. It looked like there were people actually there.
Did you have a favorite performance?
I don't know. No, I mean, they're all okay. I don't like, I'm not as big a fan of the musical numbers as you are, Luke.
wait. What on this podcast is like ever?
I told y'all the Buckeye is the one you need to keep an eye on.
I thought Sonya Eddy, obviously, at the end was the best one. Brooklyn. Little Emma, she was cute.
Oh.
Obrecht was, you know, it was very comical, villainous. A little over the top, but I got a kick out of it. Her hijacking the opening number was, you know, it was ridiculous, but it was, you know, on point for her. I liked Eddie Main being back. I mean, that was a nice little shout out to history.
And what did you think of the Bobby versus Lucy bitch slap after it was all over?
I mean, it was fine. I don't know. I didn't think much of it. I caught little stuff like Maurice Bernard bopping in the background when everybody was like singing or doing their numbers and stuff. I found that more like this is kind of funny. There, you could tell like they would slip out of their characters and sort of like.
Oh,
into
yeah.
their normal like beings, and just like there he is, just like bopping his head and. You know,
they cut to M. Ryland one time and she wasn't doing anything while everybody around her was clapping.
Yeah.
Man.
Mel, what was your favorite performance?
I don't know. The one with Ron Moss was good, I guess, because Lil Spencer interrupted the tango for it. He's so cute. So I like that number. But you know, they had good performances all around, and then they incorporated the drama into the ball as well, especially with all the Lucy and Kevin and Scotty stuff. So I thought it was a good 2014 Nurses Ball.
Jamie?
My favorite number was definitely Player. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, these I don't know what kind of service they're actually, these casting wars. I mean, Michelle Stafford will definitely be a great, go down in the history as a great get. I don't know exactly how great Ron Moss will go down, but it was funny at least. And I'm like, I'm glad they had Spencer do the little, I had to do something bold and beautiful.
All those guys in the band, like, I thought I was in a time warp watching them. I'm like, what?
And I love that song, so that was good for me.
Shout out before my time, child. You got right now.
It reminded me you know of this. It reminded me of Days when they used to have Gloria Loring and what's his name sing on there, because Days used to always cut to the couples whatever, that she'd be singing. And, you know, there'd always be the angst between Shane and Kim. And one time, I always holler at this clip when I watch it on YouTube, because they even, you know, it was Bo and Hope, then they cut to Shane and Kim, then they cut to Patch and Kayla. And this one time, child, they cut to Victor and Caroline, and I hollered. I said, oh, Lord, Dave's is even letting Ma Horton get some angst. So
Ma Brady,
yeah. But GH did that this time, you know, with, you know, Olivia rushing out in the middle. I was like, oh, Olivia says she can't take it. Play, I got her in a feeling. Let me come back. And she done ran out. You know, oh, she all in a feeling. Sonny done hurt her. Any kind of fool would see. The Sonny all running out there. Look, no, his knee probably hurting from jamming it up, you know, jamming it up in the Lila's crypt. Trying to get that last good thrust in on Ava Jerome.
Dear God.
You know, I love when Epiphany got up there and destroyed Max's little stagnant ass.
Oh, God. I was like, good. Run it over, you know, hit it with a shovel. Hit it like the shovel girl. Beat the shit out of that thing.
And I want Epiphany and Milo. I want a scene where Sabrina is like, where's Epiphany? She needs to sign up. Adios, mijos, on these new tongue depressors we have. And Felix be like, girl, I don't know what Epiphany is. Let's go find her, girl. And then they go looking for her, find her in that little co-ed locker room, the reverse.
The reverse cowgirl in there.
Exactly what I think, Luke. Exactly what
I think. I want Jillian to see Milo doing the reverse cowgirl. Epiphany.
Luke!
Jillian, what did you think?
Oh my God, like, I want to smack you for letting that go down. Oh, my eyes, I can't. I'm not going to lie. When they said, you know, when they did Black and Parrish, and then they talked about Ron Moss, I was like, I'm not going to lie. I was like, hell no, Ron, that's bad. I'm like, if John Stamos come for you on Twitter, I'm going to sit there and let it happen. But when they did the okie doke when it was play, I was like, oh, okay, you know, because I was like, if you were making Ron Moss Blackie Parrish, you need your ass.
Whoops. No, that should be against the law.
Okay, I wanted someone to arrest Ron for that. Ron and Frank for allowing it, for Frank Green like that. I'm like, the Ulbricht thing. Ugh. I was just like, God, tone it down. She already bought into the hospital. Now she deboing the nurse's ball. Jesus, I was like, God, stop. Like, tone it down. Although I did think, you know, it's quite obvious Ulbricht is trying to buy respectability and friendships and relationships. I'm like, you know, obviously this writing team, this team at GH are some Broadway buffs. I'm like, look, I ain't no Broadway buff, but I know a little something. I'm like, why didn't y'all just have old girl sing, you know, old girl come down as matron mama Morton and sing When You're Good to Mama to let them know, look, you good to me, I'll be good to you. Shit. That whole, you know, business, I was like, God, stop. Like, stop. It was just too much, child. Not too much. It was too much. And Lucy and Bobby, shit, Lucy snatched her weave. I said, ouch, shit. Lucy went on and snatched her weave. I'm like, God, you out here snatching weaves, slashing wigs, Lucy. Oh, that was epic. I like that. I like the fallout. You know, every nurse's ball isn't a nurse's ball without Lucy being naked or half naked somehow. That's just how it is. That's just how a T.I. is. I loved Kevin finding out about her stank ass Scott. Ooh, that was good. I'm like, Lucy, Cole, you punching Scott over Doc. I'm like, girl, I was hoping, you know, everybody.
I always preferred Lucy and Scotty.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yuck, y'all, yuck.
When Lucy used to be hunching on him, when she was married to Alan, and they'd be scheming and conniving together, I love
it. Yeah, it was good back in the gap, but now I'm like, no, girl, stop. Bye, Felicia, bye.
So, I don't trust Kevin. I will never trust Kevin. I'm sorry. Every time I see him and Mac and Felicia being friends, I'm like, Mac, you better watch him at your side, because he'll turn into Ryan and chase Felicia down the alleyway and try to get her booty.
I thought he was going to turn into Ryan and bust the shit out of Scott and Lucy, but, I mean, That was
speaking of Felicia. That was some ugly ass jewel. As
it
jewel.
Was not. She looked adorable. She looked like something.
It didn't even match what she was wearing.
Lord,
oh, you're like Joe. Yeah, what the hell?
I keep trying to tell people.
So you're sick and snuck on the podcast. Eat a sandwich. Come on.
I already told y'all that Luke is the shady one. Nobody listens.
Look, I ain't even paying attention to their clothes. Luke is like, that did not match the shade of her rouge. It was awful.
It was garish, is what it was.
Garish. And not Jennifer neither. But I like Fox and Cleopatra's thing, because I'm like, Alexis and Sam, y'all got a new rival for Booby's child, because her girl.
How she afford a dress? She just got a job.
Who knows? Like, who
see,
knows?
That's my tax dollars. Probably bought that dress on welfare.
Why would I be on welfare?
No job, and she's selling dope. I'm just giving the rest of the stereotypes.
No. I'd rather the dope than the welfare. No.
I wouldn't. Go to the penitentiary for welfare.
Well, she could hunch somebody out. On this show, she could hunch her way out of that. But it's kind of obvious. Like, it's kind of obvious. She has some paper stashed somewhere or something.
Maybe. But wasn't her husband in the military?
She got military benefits. There you go. That's how she got TJ that car.
Ain't that much.
Whatever. She might have got life insurance on him. Shut up. But I did like when she gave your girl Melissa, as you call her, the side eye. When she was like, oh, TJ. She looked at Molly like, okay, bitch. All right, now, little girl. She gave Molly
back. Some of our readers were so upset that TJ, 18 years old, and, you know, going to college in 2 months was part of the strip thing. I'm like, it was all this, I can't believe they're sexualizing a teenager. I'm like, do people just start watching daytime? Jagger Cates was a teenager when he was being sexualized like crazy. And Antonio Sabato Jr. was 20 years old when he joined the show. If I make no mistake, Taquan is 20, 19. What is the difference? Yeah. Someone was like, well, Antonio looks more like a man. That's genetics. I mean, but the boy is still a grown man in real life, playing a senior in high school, and it's not like it was, I mean, Epiphany kept saying full Monty, but they didn't. Sometimes I just think that, well, you know, and I know people probably think we strive to cut the show a break, and I don't think we do at this point, because we talk about the stuff that we don't like about GH, but I do think that
and we don't even agree with about what we like.
I really think that I'm like, oh my god, really? The over-sexualization of teenagers?
He is 21 years old. He can buy a
Monty save this show. People always talk about the Luke and Laura love story, but her first instinct, according to Jeannie Francis, Gloria Monty came to her when she was a teenage girl and said, we're going to save this show through you. And I wasn't a fan of the show back then. Well, number one, I wasn't even born. I was maybe 1 year old. But from what I've read, she immediately started making Laura hoish and trying to sleep with her mama's man as a teenager.
She says how 1 week Laura was like, oh, mommy, I'm picking blueberries. And the next week, Gloria came in there and was like, we going to steam it up, child. And she was all over Scotty.
And it's like, do people watch primetime? I mean, even tame primetime shows have teenagers way more sexual than what we see on any of these 4 daytime soaps. I wish they would go there more. Look at Shameless. I know that's cable and that's a different thing, but even ABC Family with that little crazy preacher man guy coming on every night talking about hurricanes or because they're gays. You know, what's his name? 2100 Club guy.
They can't get rid of him is their problem.
He said 2100 Club.
On his channel, you have the Pretty Little Liars being lesbians. They're on there eating kitty and having all sorts of sex on ABC's channel.
Having sex with teachers on that show.
It's like, yes, the main little girl on Pretty Little Liars screws her teacher. And that is the couple everybody ships. But TJ shows his ball sack through some underwear and heaven, and let's just storm the gates of ABC to get rid of Rod and Frank. It's like, give me a break, people.
I mean, yeah, Taquan is 21. You know, some people like, can't believe he's doing that with that little girl. I'm like, if Haley had a problem with it, I bet you her mom would be like, no.
And they never really let them do anything. All they do is get caught in the bed together or kiss. It's not like you see him with his head up under the sheets and her moaning. I mean, it's like, what are people? I really think that there's just like this, let's find something. There's plenty, in my opinion, that can be, that Rod and Frank can be dogged on. Yes, yeah. There is. Franco, there's plenty to be done.
Which we're about to get to, because after the nurse's ball, we had to go to Carly and Franco wanting to join the Mile High Club. I so badly wanted the plane to jerk and them to be covered in frozen feces and covered in
it. You're just doing too much now. You
want it out now. Yeah, what is with you?
You want it out now. I mean, Carly, I mean, the Mile High Club thing to me was a bust because Carly already joined it with Jax. I guess because they fly in commercial. It's scary. I'm like, she joined it with Jax. I'm like, give me a break here.
My thing is, you're never going to be able to make them a fun, frothy couple. It's just,
no, never. They're disgusting.
Stop. It's gross. He's gross. I love Roger Howarth as an actor. But this character is gross, gross, gross. This
is what with someone else.
Franco is to GH what Dannifer is to Days and what Steve Burton is to Y&R. It's that one thing that the regime refuses to stop trying to make a thing.
Yeah.
Y&R needs to stop trying to make Steve Burton and Dylan a thing and fire him and cut their losses. I'm just going there.
Yeah.
Days needs to realize that neither one of them should be fired. John Christian is great with Ari Zucker, and Melissa Reeves actually has chemistry with Greg Vaughn, in my opinion. And you know,
yes. Like,
so Dannifer doesn't. Neither one of them have to be fired, but Days needs to let that go and let that couple go forever. CH needs to let Franco go. It's never gonna work.
Dannifer reminds me. Tell me, this don't remind y'all of it. Dannifer reminds me of Franz with Greenlee and Ryan. You couldn't find anybody that liked them, but they were chugging. It's like, stop.
Yes.
But
it's like two popular. Yeah, exactly. Two people who were popular with other people, because Daniel was very popular with Nicole. And also with Chloe. Jennifer, one of the biggest star characters on the show ever, with Jack. And even with Frankie and Emilio, she's had several popular. But
before they killed Lexi off, no, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but before they killed Lexi off, they had that little chemistry there and they didn't do anything.
At that Days event every year, because I want people to know, it's not just DC saying this about Dannifer. Every year when they have the fan event here in Georgia that they do for the dual coast events, that man's Q&A time is spent defending Dannifer to that room full of 500 to 1,000 fans. It's not just us. You can, Shamo, I love you, my girl Sherry.
She's
fantastic.
The only person who likes Dannifer. It's like, why must they continue?
She likes Daniel and Chloe, but I guess she's like, I'm a ride or die for Daniel.
They're going to force this, and you know, at least Ron and Frank had kind of backburnered Franco a while, and now they're doing Castle with them. Have you noticed that? Now they're Beckett and Castle. You know, Carly is now, forget Sam as a PI, Carly Corinthos, mob mall to the masses, is now, you know, running around like Velma in the Mystery Machine trying to solve mysteries with her serial killer. I mean, that is such an oxymoron. Why is he getting to solve murders? He's a killer. It's like, is this Dex?
He has the most experience.
They should have Franco with some. If they're so hell bent on keeping Franco, they should pair him with someone else.
At this point,
he is so damaged. They might as well just have him get amnesia, and then when he actually remembers,
no, stop it. No,
that's bad storytelling 101. Just like you didn't like that tumor. We're over that. We don't like Sharon. We didn't need her to get electroshock therapy to forget things.
Zapped.
Y&R. We didn't need... No. When a character has been that damaged, the only thing you can do is put a bullet in them. It's sad because it sucks because Roger Howarth is a great actor. And maybe in a year they can bring him back as someone else, because right now it would be crazy to do it again. But it's... Or maybe in a year they'd have One Life to Live's rights back and he could come back as Tom. But... Franco is never going to work. Carly's character is going to be further damaged by being associated with this monster, and there's nothing he can do. He saved Michael from the river. He could find out why AJ died. He's still to the fans going to be
find out why the cage bird thing too. Yeah, like I don't understand. I thought they were going that route with him and Ava. I thought they were really going to go there with he and Ava to explore that or something, and they did nothing with it.
I'm serious. Somebody, all of the Legion of Doom, if you move Franco back into the Legion of Doom, fine. I mean, make him a villain again, and he's viable, because Roger can definitely play that, but he's not a lead. You can't be a leading man.
He can't be a romantic
people
lead.
People like to say, well, Carly was with Sonny and Jason, and they're killers. They killed rival mobsters who were always portrayed as bad mobsters, which, yeah, they're a killer is a killer is a killer. Franco killed because he had a mental problem and thought it was artistic. You can't come back from that. You just can't.
And there's also the fact that some of us have still not accepted the fact about Michael.
What?
Because, I mean, whether you like it or not, people who watch the show still know that Franco was the person responsible, if supposedly he wasn't.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, they're whitewashing! That's why I was like, oh, Jesus. But I get you with that, because, I'm sorry, No whitewashing. See, no whitewashing.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is I can't look at Franco and believe him to be with Carly, having known he was responsible for Michael. It does not work.
Because we've seen Carly as a mother cub, you know, a mama bear, I should say, with her cub, with Michael growing up, but she didn't want Alan, she didn't want Monica, she didn't want Edward around Michael, she did not want AJ. We saw what she did, and for her to be all gung-ho, like, it wasn't him, it was somebody
else.
She pulled
a gun in a courtroom and shot the shit out of Tony Jones.
For trying to take custody, take custody.
And then they had Michael there for a little bit apologizing for Franco, and then they reversed it.
Well, here's the thing with me, because I talked to a good friend of mine, look, get your drinking game ready, because we compared
another world at Santa Barbara. Here we go.
No, it was another world, because it was like, I'm like, am I a hypocrite that I can't like this couple? Because I loved Carl and Rachel, but we were talking about it in depth, and it was like, that story was such a slow build. Rachel continued to hate him for 6 months of him trying to court her. And by the time it was found out, they didn't, as Luke would say, whitewash it. Everybody in town went ape shit. Iris went so crazy that she had Carl shot. She shot the shit out of Carl at the wedding. I mean, the Coreys lost their shit over the fact. Whereas with this, there was the initial reaction, but now the boys are like, okay, Mom, it's okay. You go get booted over in the laboratory. Yeah. You know, it's like, and you just can't. You know, it was bold. That's one thing I love about them, though. They make bold choices, but when you make big, bold choices, sometimes it doesn't work. Because, they could have brought him back as Stephen Lars or some other character, but they chose Franco, which was go big or go home. But in this case, it's just go home with Franco at this point.
Reagan, what are your thoughts on Franco?
I mean, I've thought from the get-go, this character should have stayed far, far away, and he should have came back as a different character. But I mean, now it's coulda, shoulda, woulda, and Jamie's right. He needs to just go away. And I hate to say it, because I love Roger and I think Laura Wright and him are fantastic together, but it's the character. It's really just terrible.
Does anyone have the feeling that Roger Horworth just doesn't want to play this character anymore?
I
feel like his heart's just not in it.
He's here collecting
this check because they pay me, and I'm here.
Even some of the scenes at Kelly's, he's just sitting in that chair like...
He's just there. I don't want to play this character anymore.
Roger Horworth on As the World Turns and how terrible he was on there, because you could tell he was not into it.
No, sir. We don't say the word terrible on here. We say terrible. There you go.
Yeah, it's devolving into his As the World Turns acting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Then if that's the case, if he is just like, I don't want to be here, Frank needs to say, well, look,
but
slick
we don't know that.
I'm not saying I know.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying if that is the case, then Frank needs to tell them, look, we're going to charge this to the game and get rid of your ass. But if it's not.
Bring Jax back and just, I mean, quickly. I mean, you can do a quick Carly and Jax back together really quickly. I mean,
well, and not only that, but bringing Jax back, look at Morgan just mentioned them in the freaking crypt. I mean, that would be huge stuff.
Yeah, I would much rather see Jax back than this. I'm tired of it. I really am.
Roger looks tired too. I mean, just the way he plays him, I'm just like, you don't want to do this.
I don't understand why they did not make him Tom Hardy Senior. Why? You know, y'all like to harp about Liz being the only person from a core family. That's bringing a core family member right on back. Like, I don't
get it. And a lot of what they did was kind of a redo because we saw the whole Heather thing. I mean, you know, we're going back, but it's like all of that was the same stuff we saw Heather do with Stephen Lars. And Carly is not Olivia. Seeing Carly, you know, so the thought of, you know, if that's why it's staying around so that Heather can come and terrorize. Carly is not a woman who gets terrorized by people. Carly
does the terrorizing.
I don't want to see every sweeps. You know, that happened where Heather comes out. I'm going to get you, Carly, for fucking my son. It's like, that's not, you know, that's great for Olivia. That's great for, you know, that type of character. But Carly is the type of woman, you mess with her once, she's going to figure out a way how to end you.
And that right there is why this does not make sense that Carly and Frank are together. If Carly was being the Carly we all know and love, she would have ended Franco already.
I mean, Carly, to me, with Carly, with Franco, I'm just going to go here. They've defanged Carly. I mean, she still has a little spunk in there, but she, to me, it's like, oh, girl, like when she tried to come after.
She's Blair now. I mean,
like when she tried to come after. When she tried to come after Robin, when she tried to come after Robin when Robin was leaving, and when Patrick just shut it down, you know Carly wouldn't have let that go like that? When he was like,
Blair, every time the bad guy she's screwing does something bad, she cries, I can't believe I trusted you again, Todd. And then she does it again. It's like, she's Blair. It's like, this is not Blair. They were, you know, they have similarities, both gold diggers who became heroines, but you know, she needs her bite back. The Carly I know and love would be trying to run Kiki out of town.
Because
she's ping-ponging back and forth between her sons. You know, she would be all up in helping Michael with the ELQ thing. I love the fact that, you know that Ned voted her out. But I really would have liked that to be Carly. Because, you know, it's already been established that Carly has the proxy. And, you know, I mean, that's great that it's part of this whole Luke story, but I just wish Carly was being more, you know, mother hen to her kids than,
You know,
not mother hen. We're talking mother lion. Yeah. She is not mother lion, and she needs to be.
Her going to, you know, Black Jason and saying to him, you know, what you going to do to get rid of, what you going to do to help me get rid of,
Sandwich, Carly. You call it out, I'm going to fix you a pimento.
Was it on the podcast or someone on Twitter? You mean to tell me with all the money that Sonny's paying for his hitman,
we've already
that he can't afford that?
We've already discussed that.
He should be living across the hall from Sam and Sonny's penthouse, but I digress. But, you know, she should be teaming up with Sean, and Sean being like, girl, Jason told me about your crazy-ass schemes. He would be like, I ain't gonna do it. You know, for her to be like, do it for the Vine, and Sean be like, I ain't gonna do it, bitch, or something, you know?
Well,
like,
she already messed Sean up
for the Vine. That's awesome.
She messed Sean up once already, you know, because she had Sean up there trying to shoot Franco on her orders.
Yeah, I mean, but something, this is, they've defanged Carly. This is not the Carly Corinthos that I know and detest. This is the Carly that I'm just like, bitch, sit down. How are you?
Well, you know what? Her fellow Corinthos baby mama had a good week. Alexis got her booty dusted off.
She's such a hypocrite herself, too.
Alexis,
but it's always been in character for Alexis to be a hypocrite.
Yeah, she's always been. How
she don't need to be with Sean.
She's
always giving
dramatic speeches at her dead sister's funerals about the mob, and then she can't wait to get some mobster penis in her. So yeah,
I want to see her get a little mad about Foxy Cleopatra around both of her manses. I want to see that.
She ain't stunned, Sean.
You know Foxy flashed Julian when Julian thought she was a cop, so
yeah, I want her to... upset about that. She ain't stunting Sean. She told Sean to go fix Molly a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, I want him out of Kelly so bad. Oh.
She is... Alexis is like, look at here. I am screwing William DeVry. I do not need to be hearing about no Sean mumbling.
Well, let's talk about another soap with a mumbler, and that's The Young and the Restless. What did you guys think of it this last week, Jillian?
Well, I already told you the storyline that is captivating me, and it's so ironic. You have so much people, so, you know, I can't believe you like it. Believe it. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to tweet about it. I'm going to write it. I'm going to send you a postcard. I'm going to do an Instagram about it. I love Neil, Hillary, and Devine.
And Devine.
Yeah, maybe I'll do a Vine. I like Hillary, Neil, and Devon. I love that. That is the juiciest thing. Someone was like, Neil needs to be in a corporate storyline. I'm like, he's been doing that. I'm like, did y'all miss when Victor would not give him a seat at the board? He gave him that stupid-ass plane instead, and that's how he bought that dumb-ass club? I'm like, we've been there, done that with him. Been there, done that. Catherine took Neil from Victor, and Victor just said...
And it's not like they're mutually exclusive. I mean, yeah, I'd love to see him in a great business story. But on soaps, if you're not in a romance, you're dead. I mean, it's not just what I mean. His penis still wants to get wet, even if he's doing business. I mean,
he could still be a businessman and a hoe, and he's getting his freak on. The only, you know, they only have him with these women. Like, come on. I love the fact that he is in this scandalous storyline. This chick came to town and tried to destroy his family, and now he is saddled up next to her, and they are just having freaking sneaky games. And Devon, oh my God, Michelle Morgan, I have to tweet it, child, because I rushed home to watch that Friday, and honey, child, she slapped Devon till his hearing was back in his head. I was like, damn. She's like, when he was just like, you got daddy issues, and she went, bah! And
oh,
she,
that dialogue was so great.
She rolled her neck and pointed, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I was like, oh, this is so
went there about her mama, too. He said, oh, and didn't Neil go to a hotel with your mama? So what, you got mama issues, too? If she didn't turn into a sister, don't you say nothing about my mama.
She was like, let me tell you something. Let's get one thing straight. You can talk about me. You can come for me all you want. But you're not going to come for my mother. I was like, ooh, girl. That was so good. And then what made me a little angry, I was like, hello, hypocrite. I wanted someone to bust her with that. When Lily was like, I can't believe dad chose her over us. I'm like, little girl, you chose penis over your family several times. You chose penis.
And it was all Canes.
No, she chose penis for Kevin over her family and got the itchy scratches.
She
chose Daniel and went on the run with him, and then she chose, Hustling Kane, who you can't leave your wallet around because he'll steal
because he stole an identity.
Yes, identity.
He's talking about, Blocky, what's that itch I've got down there? And look, Lily just looks across the room at Kevin. Oops.
And I just be like, give Kevin gives to Kanye shrug. Yeah.
Mel, what did you think?
I asked Greg about that one time, Greg Rickard on the red carpet, and the look he gave me, because it was when Lily had female, you know, cancer and stuff. Ovarian cancer. And so I said, so did that STD Kevin gave Lily when she was a teenager, did it cause the cancer? He was like, what? That can't happen. I said, yes, it can. Don't you be watching the news? And he was like, no, that can't happen. And I said, yes, it can. So we're basically arguing on the red carpet. I'm like, yes, it can. He gave her an STD. If left untreated, that could have caused it. And he's all, what? I don't think that's true. It was hilarious. But
I mean,
Mel, what are your thoughts?
I love this storyline. It's juicy. I think Hillary and Neil have good chemistry. It doesn't look like it's creepy old man and young woman. It's hot, and I love it. And then the fact that, you know, Devon rolled up on them kissing, and just after they came from hunching out the GCAC, which he now owns. Ooh, that was good.
And didn't he tell her that? Well, she was, get out of my room.
I'll set housekeeping up to make up your bed. I was like,
it's my room. Did you forget I own this hotel? I said, oh, it's like somebody put a battery in Devon's back. It's like he's been walking around for 10 years with with no battery, like.
Exactly, and I love the fact that he's upset. He's upset. We all know why Devon is upset. He's upset.
They got there first.
Yes, and, you know, Neil was like, "Rich, I park here first, bitch." It's like Devon is mad because he let, once again, he let that hypocrite bitch.
He got Melanie Thomas Scott's reserve parking.
Don't talk. Look at her. I told y'all don't be talking about that. I don't know. I already got one person out of here who was worrying about my parking spot. Somebody else. Don't be coming for me. Don't be coming for me.
You know, it just it makes
you
me laugh because
soap opera digest covers, bitch.
It makes me laugh with Devon because Devon let that sanctimonious, self-righteous bitch Lily get in his head. All Devon did was let Lily get in his head when she kept hinting, you know, around about Hillary, and Kane was like, go for it. I'm like, God, Devon. Lily goes out and gets hers. So it's like, dude, why can't you go out and get yours either? You
waited? I'm like, dating the talented Mr. Ripley. Done come to town and caught them old drag queens at the Chancellor Mansion into believing he was a film.
Exactly. And that's what I want. I cannot wait for that girl. So I hope these writers do justice and make her bust Lily with that for her to read the two of them, because it's like, you know, I just... Devon waited too long.
I love this Lily, though. I love to hate this Lily.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, keep Lily with an adversary. Crystal Khalil comes alive when she has another female.
I just don't like her.
When she has another female to battle, it's good soap opera. For me. Just for me. I'm just speaking
It's a little juicy, but I'm going to be
it's
real.
It's better than 7 months of laying in the bed sucking Kane's toes. Ooh, those toes taste good.
I mean, I'm gonna be real. I mean, you know, she comes to life. Yes, I will admit that. But let's just be honest here. This is no shade, but Michelle Morgan destroys her in scenes when she gets to rolling that neck and wagging that finger. It's like, oh, baby, sit down, have a nap, boo.
I think they have a good fight chemistry. I actually think they have.
Well,
good...
I think Michelle destroys her.
Yeah, but spoiler alert.
Definitely wins the scene, but I do think that they make. Decent rivals, I do.
Spoiler alert,
Jamie.
Spoiler alert. She tells Devon, this is bitch Lily is coming alive, child. I'm like, are you really trying to tap into your mama? She tells Devon to seduce Hillary.
Child, if she was her mama, you know what would have happened. You remember Carmen.
Oh, she would have dragged her by her roots, but not GCAC.
If she was her mama, when that girl unlocked her hotel room, Lily would be in there. Hey. Come on in here, girl. And then she would have cut off all her clothes, and then she would have whooped her. And Drew Silva, this was LML, who at the time I didn't like, but boy, LML wrote some good stuff. Now, I've lived through the last 2 years, but when I was back with Drew, I think that was LML, when she bit, when Carmen was like, you can't go to help Devon grow his ear back in a jar. You got work to do here at Jabo. And she was like, Carmen, please listen to me. You know, my son, he can't hear and stuff, and I'm trying to help him and me and Neil. You can't go. I done told you, Scylla. You get your ass up there and make some perfume. Next thing you know, that Drusilla done shut the door and said, look at her, bitch. Bit Carmen's hand, bit her arm around her back, and that girl said, you're hurting me! I said, oh! She told you she was going to help Devon grow another ear, and you don't want to let her go help her baby grow another ear back, so she finna show you better than she can tell you.
Jamie, are you tired of Dylan biting on Avery's cupcakes?
Let's send a rescue plane. Let's go rent a plane for Jessica Collins. Jesus!
And we're not getting rid of this, because every interview that Regime gives talks about how wonderful it is to have Ian Ward on the show. Now, the thing of it is, Ray Wise is a great actor, but y'all ain't doing nothing with him that denotes this wonderment that you have for him.
It's
we're so tickled to have him. So to do nothing. I'm not going to get mad about Weiner, because it is what it is, but that's a waste of my time. That is a waste of my time. And I'm going to tell you, as much as I enjoyed the dialogue for the winter scene, who would have ever thought? We've been complaining about the black storyline since Drusilla fell off that damn cliff. Now it's like, that's the best thing on Y&R.
Hell yeah.
Like Abby's dialogue, I'm finna be coming for you every chance. how she talked. I know Eric Braden wanted to say, what the fuck did she just say? Nicholas is in there telling his daddy about all this stuff about fake Cassie and this good dramatic scene. And then this thing comes in there, you know, oh my golly gee willikers, Dotto. Do you know what you did, oh? You brought her in, Oochie Coochie, Olo. No, LOL. And now she's messing with us, Olo.
Oh my God. It would have been cool if she...
What is that damn show that used to come on with Amanda Bynes and Lloyd Beth Denberg, Nim, and
all show that? Thing. Oh, yeah, oh, all that, yeah.
Like, she's a character out of all that. Stop writing her like an Archie comic. She's not a cartoon. She has to talk like a grown-ass woman at this point. Forget everything M. Rowland did with the role, because Melissa can't do that. She can't do it. M. Rowland could play that Paris Hilton type. Oh my God, Eric.
But she could also use relevant slang. She would be like, who was that? Dad, you brought that thought to town for them to say, hoochie mama? I'm like, oh God.
Yep, she was relevant. You could tell, I hate to say this, but Maria's team had a better handle on how to write that social media savvy young 20-something blonde. Her dialogue sounds like something from 25 years ago. And it's just stupid. In the middle of that scene with Joshua Morrell with so much rage at his father for trying to destroy his wife, and then Abby interrupts, oh my God, Dad, you know that girl? You know the faux... Oh, she said something like, I can't even remember. You know the faux Cassie that is the real Mariah? And guess... I'm like, Victor should be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, they did it with Jill, too, because Greg mentioned...
Shut up! Do not come into my office!
They did it with Jill, too, because Greg and I were talking about that.
I do not want you to come in my office. I hate that your mother stole my sperm to make you. Got that? I mean, that's what he should have said to this girl.
They're not only doing it with her, they did it with Jill, too, because Greg brought it up, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah. Because Greg was like, you know, the dialogue is really terrible. I'm like, terrible, but whatever. And he's like, you know, they had this scene where Jill is talking to Billy about Colin, and Jill is like, you know, I know he's after my money. If the shoe was on the other foot, I would be after his money too, but I just love him and the sex. And I'm like, Rich, wait a minute, back that truck up. 20 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, Jill is a gold, not even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I'd have been like, Jill Abbott is a gold digger. Jill Abbott, now she got her own ducats. Yes, they did that stupid storyline where Victor froze all their assets. But as they like to drive home, she is offended.
Oh, no, 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 no. She doesn't have any money, remember? She can't.
Remember Catherine's
chair? She doesn't even have enough money to pay the light bill at the Chancellor Mansion. You know, this regime says that she doesn't have any money. That 20% of Jabot and that huge settlement she got from John Abbott. You know, which, okay, I'll give him that. That was 1988 or so. So she could have burned through that. But she just got half of Fenmore's 2 or 3 years ago. And Jill.
Like 2 years ago, yeah.
And Fenmore was just sponsoring the fashion show. So it's not and like Fenmore is financially in trouble.
When Jill inherited that mansion, and with the, you know, that Catherine said she can't sell her half. She has said over and over again, I don't even have enough money to pay the utilities on this place. So it's like, okay, did Jill invest in the housing market? I mean, did she lose all her money?
She's probably using, what's her name's money? The $20,000 a month.
Back to the dialogue situation, though. Abby can't talk like that anymore. It's stupid. That's not. Go talk to a young woman. This girl should be Ivanka Trump. She's supposed to be an executive now. She shouldn't talk like a fucking dumbass when she comes into Victor. It's fine if you have her in some scene with Lily acting that way, but that's just stupid. Victor should have been like, don't you come into my office talking stupid to me. What are you talking about? So Mariah. I mean, I know Eric Braden had to be like,
that's them. To me, that's them.
In my life.
That is them trying to say they pay attention to online because we've been calling her faux Cassie, no Cassie, and all that other shit.
Yeah, but look what they do when they try and make commentary on people who comment about web series.
M. Rowland
it's terrible.
Do that.
No!
M. Rowland had a way of making that cute and funny. It just does. Melissa is a totally different actress. She's a bombshell. I will give her that. She's strikingly beautiful. She looks like a young Eileen Davidson. They need to write her as young Ashley. Stop all the naked heiress Paris Hilton stuff. Number one, that's played out. Paris Hilton is not even in the lexicon anymore.
She's not even relevant anymore.
She's not even relevant. It's just outdated. Make Abby grow up. If she's a grown-ass woman dealing with a sociopath after her man, she needs to act like a grown woman. You know, she can't be talking like that anymore. She just sounds stupid. Just make her an adult heiress with a job. Like, it wasn't that.
Mel, speaking of grown women, what do you think of Allie on The Bold and the Beautiful?
I have grown to fall in love with Allie. Like, she's so crazy and campy. It's wonderful and amazing. Y'all, just Allie attacked Taylor with a battle axe, a real live battle axe on Monday on The Bold and the Beautiful. And I think the girl that plays her, she does a good job with it, you know, because you understand Allie is off a rocker because her mother died in an early age and she has a lot of issues, but you kind of sympathize with her. So I do like Allie.
Reagan, what are your thoughts on it?
I think she does a very good job. The story's okay to me. Sometimes I'm sitting there watching it and I look at her and I think, God, you're like a little kid trying to fit in with the big kids. It's just how I feel about her sometimes. Like the whole scene with her and Oliver and them kissing, I don't know. I just sometimes I don't buy that she fits in with that group. I don't know what it is for me.
Jillian?
I thought it was funny as hell when she pulled out that axe and tried to chop Taylor up. Chopper style, she tried to chop her ass up. I loved it. You know, the Taylor fans, all two of them on Twitter, Smitty and Fran, I rebuke you too. Well, like, I can't believe it. And Tiggs too. Tiggs, I'm ashamed of you. And, you know, all three of them was just like, Allie, I loved it. Because this girl is clearly batshit over floating dollar, you know? Bibbidi bobbidi doo dollar, that floating head. It was good. And then came back and did the whole what happened to my mother. And then it was good shit. Mm-hmm. It was good stuff.
Jamie, will Ridge break up Bill and Brooke?
Child, you know what, Luke? What I love about this, it's like Madison Avenue be damned. On General Hospital, Alexis Davis is having hotter sex than either one of her daughters. Bold and the Beautiful, 50-something Brooke Logan's golden, but this ain't got the menfolk going all the way to the Arab lands, child, because he don't want that other woman rubbing on her magic lamp so the genie can come out. I said, go ahead, Brooke Logan. So, yes, I am happy. You know, Katie gonna be mad as hell. Because, you know, he's all, I'm going over there because I don't want him to be Archer's stepfather. When I come back, I'll read you a poem. And she's like, yeah. I don't like this. I don't like this. Brooke always gets all the boys going to Abu Dhabi for her. My heart.
Oh, she said that. Shut up, chop.
My heart. So I am happy.
Katie ain't saying that. She's just screwing Ridge. That's all that's happening.
Okay, she said, don't stop. Get it.
See how the boring half live at some point.
Oh,
you know?
Shut up. Shut your face. Shut your pie off.
He needs to slow down after a while. I mean, you know.
Shut your pie off.
Drive a Corvette your whole life. Sometime you have to go for a
station. Shut up. I'm going to the free clinic when he messed with Brooke. How about
okay.
that?
He's pretty much
coming back though. He kept coming back though. 25 years. Let's see if he's still coming back for Katie and her antacid tablets in 2 years.
Shut up!
At this point, Brooke has to be made of curdled cream.
She got little boys yard and they still love her. When I saw Thorne hug her, when I said, "Uh oh, Taylor, you better come get him," because you know, he'll be like, "One more hug," and Brooke will be like, "I'm so sorry that you killed your mom and your little stupid daughters."
I am just bummed. I am bummed that B&B did not have Bill and Katie as co-CEOs. I would have loved that for her, for the tension in that room. That would have been amazing. I'm bummed they did not do that. That's what I'm pissed off about.
I figure they're going to do. Well, there's not a spoiler, But I could see, to me, it would be a little more drama if Ridge does get her over there at Forrester, because that would be a good, you know, well, hello, Brooke. I'm going to be working with you. But
Reagan, let's talk a little bit about another storyline, which I'm sure, considering you haven't been on a regular podcast in a while, what do you think of Liam, Hope, and Wyatt?
I'm going next.
Oh, God. I don't...
Can they really share and share a life?
No, I don't. It's a little creepy. I mean, to watch her... first of all, I've been watching this girl kiss Liam for too long now, and then she was with Wyatt, and now she's kissing both of them, and I don't know, like, I have to admit, I didn't watch for a few episodes, and so I skipped ahead to watch a little bit of this week. I'm like, they're in the same damn clothes, and they're talking about the same damn thing, and I can't handle this show sometimes, even though I love it. I don't know, it frustrates me to no end, and that's how I feel about that triangle. I'm really sick of this girl being in a fucking triangle all the time.
Oh, Lord.
Heaven's to bed.
Mel?
Okay, let me tell y'all. I ain't been on this in a while, so I've been dying to say this. Let me tell y'all all about what I like to call soap opera's most disrespectful triangle, because that is what it is. The second Hope came to Wyatt talking about Liam says that he would be willing to let me date both of y'all so I can figure out my feelings, Wyatt should have pushed her out of the way, went to Liam's house and kicked him in the side of the neck, because no way I'm going to be a man and you're going to suggest to my girlfriend that we going to date each other so you can figure out your feelings. I'd have whooped his ass
To be fair,
okay? I would have whooped his ass. That just would have been me as a person, okay?
But then Wyatt... Kelly Kapowski got to do that to figure out her feelings for Zach and Clay.
Kelly Kapowski was 17 and in high school. They're supposed to be grown people owning companies, hope for the future, corporations and stuff. And y'all
wait, are you trying to say that Donatella Versace wouldn't be allowed to date two brothers at the same time and figure it out?
If I was quiet, I'd kick Liam inside the neck. I would have went back to Hope, and I would have said, the fact that you are even considering this, you can take your ass on back to Liam, because we ain't fixing to share nobody up in here, okay? So basically, my big point is, Hope does not love herself. Okay, Wyatt is something that rhymes with a wussy, and Liam just gets on my nerves.
Go for the jugular. Jamie already said the F word. Go for the jugular.
I want to say
it. Oh, shut up, you.
She's a lady.
She's a good girl. She was raised right.
Most disrespectful triangle. Nobody loves themselves. They should all be single. I want Hope to fall off a cliff because I can't see it.
Up to her and be like, you know what? You did not like when Liam did this to you and Steffi, and I'll be damned if you're going to do this to me, bitch. And when he said, when Hope was like, there's no sex, Lion looked like he wanted to fight Hope. He was like, wait a minute. I'm like, this is stupid. They really, this is another thing that's making me mad. B&B is firing on all cylinders, but they have set it from the windows to the wall. We need Liam to put Quinn up against a wall and just do it. You know, rock them hips and do it. They need to have Quinn and Liam.
That would really change the game if they did.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
They would have the ramifications. We know how Bill is. We saw Bill when he told Katie, if he ever hurts you, Katie, I'm a cunt. And Katie was like, I know you ain't talking that junk. We know how Bill is. For Bill to be like, wait a minute. Yeah, tofu-eating ass messing with Quinn. And for him to be like, well, Dad, you messed with Steffi, so what?
You know? I think Bill would laugh about it. I don't think Bill would care one bit. Bill is that alpha male. It would be just like Joe Kennedy and Jack Kennedy sharing Marlena Dietrich. Bill would probably give him a high five. Now, Wyatt would hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bill would not think it's serious. I think Bill would be like, she's only using you, son. She wants the stallion. She don't want the pony. She wants the stallion. And I think for a minute, Bill would be like, this is a joke. And he'd be fine with it. But we know how Bill is. Bill is very territorial. They're missing the boat there because they have
killer chemistry.
They He's have- territorial, but he ain't want. Look, he didn't leave his flag there. He just hovered it over. He ain't never sought to plant no flag with Quinn. He is like. Quinn is a nuisance to him. I mean, yeah, he's had sex with her.
He's still coming back to that dust child. He still can't. He'd be like, I'm a Brooke, but I got her now. So come on.
He ain't tempted by her. He is like, get out of here. I screwed you when I didn't have Brooke. Now that I got Brooke, you can take that whip and Batmobile and everything else all away from here. Because I got the number one stunner of Beverly Hills up in here.
Number one, Lisa.
Well, she had a woman on that show. I don't care what nobody say. If it was a sexual Olympics in Los Angeles, California, Brooke Logan would take the gold every time. Because Katie, yeah, she cute in her little panties and bra and stuff, but her heart will get to beating too fast, and she can't do what Brooke will do. Brooke will be like, oh, your heart hurting? Your heart hurting you, Katie? What? You can't put your foot in the air and twist it around like this? See that ridge? Remember that?
Oh my God, you're an asshole.
Wanna go to Big Bear? Come on, Katie. I can hike up this hill and let him do me reverse cowgirl.
Hold up, hold up.
Next thing we know, he's gonna start talking about barrel racing.
Fred's gonna wanna get real freaking sneaky one night. Let's go to the steam room. And she's gonna be like, well, you know that's not good for people with heart. He's gonna be like, oh, steak! I miss Brooke.
A Quinn and Liam. There would be great drama. Wyatt would hate it. Hope would be a little jealous. And the fallout would be endless. They need to go there. They need to go there. And V&B is wasting a good opportunity. You know?
And then if she ended up pregnant.
They could be Jack and Jill with Terry Lester and Brenda Dixon.
Yes! You know, people are like, people think that Quinn is gonna get with Deacon. I hope and pray not. Don't do that, Brad. Don't do it. Don't do that. Not-
well, there may have been some prayers going on in the Jay-Z Knowles household. We put a post up on the site. 21 soap opera characters Solange Knowles should beat up in an elevator. Jamie, is there a specific soap character he'd like to see her beat up? You.
Yeah. I would love for Solange to whoop what's his name? Dylan. I want him to just whoop him out of town. And then when she gets through, I want her to go over to CBS Television City and catch all of the powers that be in the elevator and be like, she don't got to whoop him, but just scare him. Be like, look here. I don't know which one of y'all is in charge, but y'all better get it together. And then just kind of knock at them, you know, not hit them, but just
shoulders
up real good.
Flex on them.
They'd be like, ah!
Angelica's a Latina, so she might be like, bitch.
Angelica might take off her earrings.
I don't need her to whoop them. I just need her to show up at a meeting with them, with her shades on, in her peach.
She about to start on the show.
Evening gown and be cracking knuckles, just be like, let somebody write Abbott like that again, huh? Let somebody write Abbott like that.
She's gonna start on the show, you know. Jill is like, we go do GHN and show launch. Be like, do GHN what? And then just whoop ass.
Jillian?
Oh my God, I hate you for this because Dylan is my one. Yeah, I wanted to whoop Dylan and for Dylan to be like, you know, I'm having flashbacks. And she'd be like, oh yeah, you're going to have flashbacks of Houston whooping your ass, bitch. Get out of town. I wanted to whoop Ian Ward's ass to be scary. I've tried to defend it, but he is not scary. Him popping up, hello, son, I want a bran muffin. And for Dylan to be all, you're not funny, you're not scary, you're just annoying. You know, I want him to, I just really want Paul to be like, that's you, Rick, and pop him one. Like, you're not scary at all. I do want her to do a drive-by over at GH, and for Doc, you know, for her to whoop up on Dr. O, and for her to be like, she got to stay in the closet a minute. She got to stay on the shelf a little bit. Her and Franco got to be put on ice, because Dr. O is just making the hospital story a mockery now. Her buying.
Agreed.
It's too much. I'm like, stop. I don't really want her to do nothing over at Days and B&B. Why not GH? Yeah, she gonna whoop ass over there. She gonna whoop ass over there. She gonna tear some ass. I wanted to tear Lily's ass up too, and for her to be like, "Look, bitch, stop being a cock block with your daddy now."
Reagan,
daytime character probably Franco needs just to get his butt kicked out of town, like we said earlier. Daytime related people: Sherry Shepherd's soon to be ex husband.
Oh, child, he might eat so long. You see that monster?
I mean, he sounds like a real piece of work, you know.
She got two bad husbands showing up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mel?
I'm pulling a Luke and breaking the rules. I want Solange to roundhouse kick Hope, Liam, and Wyatt.
Ooh,
all
good.
Three of them.
Hey, I want it to be Felix. I'm sick of him and his busybody ways on General Hospital.
He's a busybody.
He's always a busybody. Yeah. Every time you turn around, he's a busybody. Franco needs to go too, or be beat up. And the Wombat. Someone needs to run.
Oh, yeah, he sucks.
I mean, Felix, I don't know why they changed Felix. Before, I actually liked Felix.
I like Felix. I don't know why you always get on Felix.
He hasn't done
any busybodying in weeks. Like,
even if he is a busybody, that's his character, dude.
All he did is show that big old round booty at the nurse's.
Oh, okay.
Hey, how you doing, Felix?
On that note,
Felix was not a busybody. He was a hypersexual person. Now, I don't know if they got scared because the moles were all.
Felix was straight bait, though. He got all hypersexual with all the straight boys, but as soon as the little Asian homosexual came his way, his booty hole clapped shut.
Yeah, and the moles just rounded up and was like, we don't like you doing that to Felix. He just became so nosy. It's like, you know, when he got up in Dr. O's face, I wanted her to slap him and be like, bitch, I don't know you who you think you talking to. You ain't Anna Devane. You shut your face. He does too much. Brad fan for life. What?
Amen. On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. We thank you for listening.
And
until next
Pornhub
time. Pornhub
at.
Promote your own profile on
Twitter. Make a cake with X-Lax in it for Dylan and Ian, and just lock them in the closet. Just keep them there, because they suck.